Where exactly is Valinor and the Undying Lands? And how do you get there? It's to the west, but is it a physical place, on a different spiritual realm, or something else? Let's take a look. Hi everyone, this is Robert. Welcome to In Deep Geek. On this channel, we cover The Lord of the Rings in depth, as well as other great fantasy worlds like A Song of Ice and Fire and The Witcher. Let's start by being clear on what we're talking about. The Undying Lands are the continent of Aman and Tol Eressëa, the lonely island just off of its east coast. They are the home of the Valar and most of the Maiar and the Elves, though some obviously made their way over to Middle-earth, or in the Elves' case just stayed there. Eternal, beautiful and sustaining. It's where the Elves sailed off to from the Grey Havens in the Second and Third Ages, and where the Ringbearers, Frodo, Bilbo and so on, went at the end of The Lord of the Rings. So the answer to where they went is, from one perspective, quite straightforward. West. West of Middle-earth, across the sea, until they ended up on the shores of the Undying Lands. And that was literally true for many years. The Valar created the continent of Aman before even the Years of the Trees, way back in the mists of time, to be a place where they could live away from Morgoth's machinations while waiting for the elves and humans to appear. The ocean Beleaguer separated it from Middle-earth, though there was a sort of icy land bridge to the north known as the Helcaraxa. In time, the Valar called the elves to come to Aman, created a massive range of mountains around its edge to prevent unwanted visitors, explicitly banned humans from ever setting foot on there, and then finally, after the sinking of Numenor, Eru Ilúvatar took even more decisive action. As it says in the Silmarillion, Valinor and Eressëa were taken from the world into the realm of hidden things. The curious thing, though, was that despite being taken from the world, Arda, it was still possible to sail there. For example, the white ship that took Frodo, Bilbo, Gandalf and co. westwards at the end of The Lord of the Rings. We're told this. And the ship went out into the high sea and passed on into the west, until at last, on a night of rain, Frodo smelled a sweet fragrance on the air and heard the sound of singing that came over the water, and then it seemed to him that the grey rain curtain turned to silver glass and was rolled back, and he beheld white shores, and beyond them a far green country under a swift sunrise. So you do definitely sail there. It's just that at some point you find yourself not on the earth you set out on, but elsewhere. How? Well, Tolkien clarified this a bit in one of his letters. The immortals, who were permitted to leave Middle-earth and seek Aman, set sail in ships specifically made and hallowed for this voyage, and steered due west towards the ancient site of these lands. They only set out after sundown, but if any keen-eyed observer from that shore had watched one of those ships, he might have seen that it never became hull down, but dwindled only by distance until it vanished into the twilight. It followed the straight road to the true west, and not the bent road of the earth's surface. In A Calibeth, Tolkien describes this straight road as if it were a mighty bridge invisible that passed through the air of breath and flight and traversed the region above the air where the stars are, which flesh unaided cannot endure. And elsewhere, as an unseen bridge that on arches runs. As we know, Tolkien was a massive lover of Norse mythology, so if you're now thinking of the rainbow Bifrost that connected Midgard and Asgard, you're probably not too far off the mark. Let's not forget that even the name Middle-earth is inspired by Midgard. So to travel from Middle-earth to Valinor, you need to go by ship via the straight road, which deviates from the natural curvature of the planet. And to do that, you understandably need a ship which had been specifically made and hallowed for the journey. If we ever thought of Curdan the Elf as just a good shipwright, then we are not really giving him enough credit. When he made ships to take elves west, he was making ships that could take people into another realm entirely. So if that's how you get to the Undying Lands, that still leaves open the question of exactly where they are, or what Tolkien means by saying that they are in a different realm. Is it just in a physically different place, reachable by travelling straight rather than along the curve of the Earth? So, a flat island floating in outer space, not unlike Asgard in the Marvel movies, actually, albeit in a geosynchronous orbit with the Earth, so that it remains constantly due west of the Grey Havens. If that were the case, its fixed position would seem to explain how Elendil could use the Palantir in the Tower of Elastirion to look back with straight sight and see Eressëa in the vanishing west, as he often did in the late Second Age. But no, that does not seem to be the case. A man is not just a huge, invisible rock out in space. Tolkien clarified that regarding the Ringbearer's ship, that as it vanished, it left the physical world. So does left the physical world suggest that the Undying Lands were themselves no longer physical? When elves or whoever went there, did they leave their bodies behind in some way and become a part of a purely spiritual realm, making the Undying Lands, ironically, for all intents and purposes, the lands of the dead? Again, no. And perhaps it's a bit clearer in another letter, where Tolkien clarifies that Eressëa and Valinor were removed from the physically attainable Earth. It is there, and it is physical. It's just that you can't see it or get to it. If you'll excuse another foray into the metaphysics of Tolkien's legendarium, this has to be the case, because it's important to an understanding of how things are that elves, as well as the Maiar and Valar, are inextricably tied to the duration of Arda. They cannot escape the circles of the world for as long as Arda endures. When an elf dies, they don't die, per se, they go to the halls of Mandos until their time to return to the living, Glorfindel here being the most famous example. To be, by definition, Elvenholm, Valinor must still somehow remain a part of Arda, even if it is unobtainable by others. By contrast, if you're interested, human souls are not bound to Arda in the same way. When a human dies, their soul goes somewhere. No one knows. Elves, who can feel trapped by their nature in being held forever in the circles of Arda, can view this as a blessing. Humans who live much shorter lives often feel it's the opposite. Okay, so Valinor and the Undying Lands are still physical places, and still within the circles of Arda, but removed from the physically attainable world. When Frodo went there at the end of The Lord of the Rings, it wasn't to some kind of spiritual afterlife, it was to a real physical place where he could heal. Which brings us back to access and egress. We've said a few times that Valinor was removed from the physically attainable world, but it's clearly not that removed. The elves can still go there, as can specially invited guests like Frodo and Bilbo, and Gandalf brought Shadowfax with him. It's a matter of having one of those specially hallowed boats. And the straight road is also not a one-way street. Though we most often hear of those who sail it westward, embodied beings have travelled along it eastward from Aman to Middle-earth. The ban against elves from doing so was a legal prohibition, not a metaphysical impossibility. The most notable example here is, of course, the Astari. We're told that Curdan the shipwright saw their landings on the western shores, and even met Gandalf when he arrived, gifting him that ring of power. All of which explains, as best we can, the mechanics of where the Undying Lands are and how you get there. But as much as Tolkien obsessed over making sure that his world worked, I think it's worth just taking a step back and recognising the magic or feel of what he is doing here. This isn't a matter of, if you follow these instructions, then you will find where that land has been taken. On the contrary, the description we find in the Silmarillion gives us, I think, a whole different perspective on it. The Loremasters of Men said that a straight road must still be, for those that were permitted to find it. And they taught that, while the New World fell away, the old road and the path of the memory of the West still went on, as it were, a mighty bridge invisible that passed through the air of breath and of flight, which were bent now as the world was bent, and traversed Ilmen, which flesh unaided cannot endure, until it came to Tol Eressëa, the Lonely Isle, and maybe even beyond to Valinor, where the Valar still dwell and watch the unfolding of the story of the world. And tales and rumours arose along the shores of the sea concerning mariners and men forlorn upon the water, who by some fate or grace or favour of the Valar had entered in upon the straight way and seen the face of the world sink below them, and so had come to the lamplit quays of Avalone, or verily to the last beaches on the margin of Aman, and there had looked upon the white mountain, dreadful and beautiful, before they died. Valinor is not just a continent to be able to point at on a map. It is the old world, the home of the gods themselves, the elves, the magical, and all that is faded from our world. But it is not just gone. Tolkien didn't just make magic disappear from the world. It is still there. There is a pathway, the straight road, that can take you there. And although it is usually barred to us humans, there is a chance, just a small possibility, that we might one day stumble across it. Not because of our own great navigational skills or because we are worthy in some way, but because of some fate or grace or favour of the Valar. The world of the Fourth Age of Middle-earth may be the dominion of man, a land where magic has drained to the west, but it is still there, just in the corner of your eye, just offering a small sliver of hope to the forlorn, the sailor lost at sea, who, through fate and grace, is allowed one glimpse of Valinor, the dreadful and beautiful, before they die. If you'd like to see more videos digging deep into Tolkien's Legendarium, please click on the playlist on the left of your screen now. Or to support this channel, the best way to do that is via Patreon. That's the link on the right of your screen. Thanks for watching. That's all for this time. I'll see you again soon.